The sermon this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Please join me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 7. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Pray with me. Our God, help us now to take your word seriously, to take our lives in your Son, Christ Jesus, seriously, to take our affections and what they say about us seriously. O God, that we would direct our hearts towards you, and that we would love you and look forward to seeing your Son face to face. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are you looking forward to? Another way to ask is, what do you want? I can imagine someone coming to a door, and I think this even happened to me as a child. Someone came to the door, and I opened it, and I asked the man, just, what do you want? It's not a polite question, and this morning we will continuously be moving beyond the polite and the polite questions. One of my sons is reading Where the Red Fern Grows. It's a story of a little boy who lives out in the country, and this little boy lives in what is known as some of the greatest hunting ground, some would say, in the world. And he longs to have these two hunting dogs. He wants it so badly. He wants them so badly, nothing else will do. And he asks his parents again and again, so much to the point where my son told me, this guy, he's kind of making me mad. And I asked, why is he making you mad? And he said, that's all he thinks about is these hunting dogs. And he keeps asking his parents again and again. He's following his mom around, asking her again and again. He's not eating his food because he wants these hunting dogs so bad. His mom's actually starting to cry because he's asking again and again. And I said, sounds like the boy needs discipline. And he said, yes, it does. What is he looking forward to? What does he want? And it's a reality that there are things that we want. It's a reality that there are things that we're looking forward to. And what do we look forward to but the things that we think will satisfy us? The things that we think will make us complete, or the things that we might even think will vindicate us to show that we are the ones who've been right all along. Well, you, as you think, you, as you long, you, as you want, to what are you looking forward? If I asked you, what do you want? Make me a list. Make me a list of what you want. Put 20 things down that you want. How far would we get on the list before we would see this eager waiting that Paul is praising here for the Corinthians? It's not that they're kind of looking forward to it. It's not that they're thinking, yeah, it might be nice when that happens. So that you are not lacking in any gift, it says in verse 7. Waiting eagerly. Awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this, what is being described to us is that heart that is loving Christ rightly? It is that heart that sees the world around us rightly. It is that heart that sees our own souls rightly. And it is that heart that loves with a deep affection and looks forward to Christ, knowing that we will not be vindicated in this world by any witness, knowing that we will not be filled in this world, not completely, knowing that we will not be satisfied in this world, not completely, but we will only be vindicated. We will only be filled. We will only be satisfied when we finally see Christ face to face. I read a brief account of a man, and they described this man always looking to the sky for a sign of Christ's return. And at first I thought, that sounds kind of dumb. I don't know how I would respond to you if we were leaving church and I walked out and you're standing on the sidewalk just staring to the sky. And I asked, what are you doing? And if you said, I'm looking for some sign that Jesus is coming back, I would be concerned. This isn't the idea. It's not standing and staring. But it's knowing who has saved you and what he will do for you when he gets back. So the call for you this morning is for you not to stand and stare at the sky, but for you to live. To live the Christian life as you're waiting for Christ. As you're looking forward to him. I may have told you this before, when I was a child and I was in grade school, sometimes a teacher would get up and leave the class, and that's when the party started. That's when we had a good time, when the teacher was gone. And there was a large cabinet, and I think, you know, my perspective's off because I was shorter then, only a little bit. There was a cabinet, and a kid could climb up on top of the cabinet, and he could look out the window into the hall, and we had a lookout. We had somebody that could watch, and he would watch out in the hall, and we could do whatever we wanted until we said, here she comes. And he would jump off the cabinet, and we would get in our seats, and we would be perfect. When you know someone's coming, your behavior changes, doesn't it? When you know someone with authority is coming. Well, here, we're looking for someone to come, but it's not just the authority that's coming. What we're looking forward to is that one who has loved us and will completely vindicate us. So our first step is look for Jesus coming. Look for Jesus coming. 1 Corinthians 1:7. So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll ask again, if I made you make a list of things that you were looking forward to before you heard this sermon, where would the return of Christ be on your list? Is this something that is even in the front of our mind? We wait for the work week to be over. We wait for our children to be potty trained. We wait for this, we wait for that, we wait for our children to be out of the house maybe, and then maybe we'll have our party. I don't know. But there's these things that we think that we want, these things that we think will fulfill us. But here we see the heart that is redeemed, the heart that is thinking rightly, is eagerly awaiting the revelation of Christ. Romans 8:23 says this, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So another reason that we look forward to Christ and being described here as groaning inwardly, I confess, I haven't seen anyone other than saints on their deathbed who seem as if they're groaning inwardly for Christ to come. There was this woman I knew long ago And she was on her deathbed and she was waiting to go. And eventually she lost her powers of speech and she could barely get out of bed. And when I would go visit her and I would say, "How are you doing?" And I remember her going like this and flopping her arms down. And I said, "You were eager to see Jesus?" And she nodded. And she would write, "I can't believe I'm still here. Why do I still have to be here?" was the heart she had. She was groaning inwardly to see Christ face to face. And a part of what we're looking at here, and this is, the younger you are, I think the harder it might be to get your head around this. Groaning inwardly, eagerly waiting for the adoption as sons. Then it says, the redemption of our bodies there in Romans 8:23. Now, some of you have been young and you are old now. Some of you, you can remember a former glory. Things that you could lift and things that you could do. Speeds that you could run. Things that you could accomplish that you can't do anymore. You now have pains that you didn't have before. You don't heal like you used to. For those of you who can feel that, you can get the sense here. You understand. Looking forward to the redemption of your bodies. And let's think about that for a minute. Let's enjoy this truth for a moment. What is going to happen? Because we have these bodies that have been corrupted now. Distorted. In a downward spiral. And you can think of this for yourselves. You can also think of this for your loved ones. These things that are not what they are supposed to be. One of the ugliest things that I've ever seen is a broken leg. When you see a limb that's turned the way that it's not supposed to go. And the person can't move, and they can't walk, and they can't be what they're supposed to be. We're all broken, aren't we? We get along with a limp at best. None of us are running the way that we want to. None of us are precisely what man was made to be. We're plagued by our weakness, and we're plagued by our sin. And one of the reasons that we are looking forward to Christ is the redemption of our bodies. All corruption removed. Every weakness taken away. Every sore joint gone. Every memory that would now just floats away and we don't have any idea where it's gone. All given back to us, all returned to us. And we look forward to Christ because of the redemption of our bodies. Another reason that we look forward to Christ, and we're still under the first step, is Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This idea of our citizenship. When Leslie, when she was in the Army and she was sent off for basic training and she's on the, she's states and states away and hundreds of miles away from where she came from. She's with all of these strangers and she's interacting with people from New York for the first time and people from here for the first time and people from there for the first time. And as she's sitting in this crowd and she's talking and somebody seemed familiar in a strange way. Someone seemed comfortable in a strange way. And she finally asked him, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Toronto, Ohio." Just miles up the river from where she came from. This citizenship and this familiarity. You and I, you've been in situations when you're in a crowd and you've got nothing in common with these people. They're strange to you. You're strange to them. If you go out into this world and in different settings, and I remember being, and I mentioned being in the fire department here, or being on the borough council here, you're with a group, and the things you I would say, they would look at me like, where are you even coming from on this? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You're strangers and you're aliens here in this world. Why? You're not citizens of Beaver Falls. You're not citizens of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You're not even really from Chicago if you think you're from Chicago. This isn't who you are. You have been given a heart. You have been given a spirit that is tied to the kingdom of God. You have been made sons and daughters of the Most High. You are strangers and exiles on the earth. You are aliens here. A part of your longing, the longing where that we run to food for and dessert for, part of the longing that we run to movies for, part of the longing that we run to games for, the longing that we're always trying to fill with something, even with sin, the longing will be filled when Christ comes. Your citizenship is in heaven, and we look forward to our Christ who comes from heaven. Again, Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:4 puts it this way. When Christ, who is your life, appears, and you will also appear with him in glory. Have you ever held on to something as if it were your life? Have you ever really had to cling to something knowing that if you lost it, that was it? I've told you the story of my friend who was studying a knot as he was working on rappelling, and there was supposed to be the special forces knot that if you tugged on it 3 times, it would come loose. And so you could rappel down a cliff. After you had tied it off, you'd get to the bottom, you'd tug 3 times, and it would come loose. So he's practicing. And he climbed up 40 feet in a tree, and he tied it off with this special knot. And he leans back on a branch, and as he's standing there, he thought, I really want to make sure this is secure. And he tugged to make sure it was secure, and it came loose. And as he fell 40 feet, he described to me, he held on to that rope so tightly, as if it would be his salvation. Here we're being told it's Christ who is your life. It's Christ that is your life. Are you holding on to him? Are you clinging to him with an eager expectation that he's coming back? He's coming back, and this will be your redemption. This will be your healing. This will be your satisfaction, finally. This is why the heart of the believer eagerly awaits for his appearing. This is why Colossians 3:4 goes on. Then you will also appear with him in glory. Isn't that what you want? If you took all the things on your list, if you had 20 things and the appearing of Christ didn't show up, couldn't you just take that, appearing with him in glory, and say, and compare each one, greater than, less than, greater than, less than, greater than, less than, isn't this the greatest? Isn't this what you actually want? Isn't this what you actually need? 1 Thessalonians 1:10, talking about the appearing of Christ. And to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the wrath coming. The coming wrath, as we look at Scripture so often, the day of the Lord was talked about, and it was described how dreadful, how terrible it will be. If we studied Jerusalem and what happened in Jerusalem when God gave Jerusalem over, would just be a taste of the coming wrath. We watch the footages from Hurricane Matthew. Just a taste of the coming wrath. If we went back and looked at the videos of the tsunami as it came across Japan, there were scenes in there that were just so dreadful and so terrifying. At first I started watching and thinking, wow, this is amazing. And some part of me found it entertaining as I watched. There, one of the scenes I saw, it was buildings moving across the landscape. There were warehouses coming and moving across, bursting into flames as they went. And I was watching, I thought, wow, that is really cool. And then as I watched it, then a scene happened. There was something small from this overhead footage. And I looked to see, what is that? And I realized that was a minivan. It was driving towards it. And then they saw it and they stopped and they turned around and they're taking off as these flaming buildings and floods are chasing this minivan. And I realized, this isn't cool. This isn't great. This is. If it's exciting, it's exciting in terrible ways, in terrifying ways. There's a wrath that's coming. The tsunami is just a taste. Just a taste of what he will do. So we await his Son from heaven who was raised from the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. 2 Peter 3:12 says this, as you anticipate and hasten the coming day of God, when the heavens will be dissolved by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. You see this idea? You understand at all what this will be? One part of Scripture says that heaven and earth will flee from his presence. Heaven and earth will flee from his presence. I never had a picture of what that could be until one day when I was doing some dishes and I had a greasy pan. And there was water in it and I'm looking and I took some dish soap and I blopped it in there and it went down and pow! The grease exploded away from the drop. Can you imagine heaven and earth exploding away from the presence of God? My imagination is this, that the walls here would blow away. The pews would blow away. Everything we have would blow away and we would be left standing before the presence of God. Separated then to his right and to his left. He is our deliverer from the coming wrath. Hebrews 9:28, so also Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. To whom is he bringing salvation? To those who eagerly await him. This is the picture of a Christian. This is the picture of someone who loves Christ. This is someone who eagerly awaits him. Because we know him. Because we know what he does. And we know our true need. Our next step, number 2. Look forward to Jesus coming because he will confirm you in the end. This comes from 1 Corinthians 1:8, who will also confirm you. What does that mean? We have all been in situations, I imagine, where we longed for someone to confirm us. Where we longed for someone to vindicate us. Some of you have asked me for a reference at different times for jobs. And said, can I use you? And I said, yes. Yeah, I will tell them what I know. And what I know is good. Other people have asked me for a reference. I said, you don't want to use me as a reference. And he asked why, and I said, I'll tell them the truth. But here we're being told that Christ will confirm you to the end. Now, we might ask, how would he do this? If I were able to call Jesus on the phone and I could ask, could I use you for a reference? He knows me. He really knows me. He knows me better than my wife knows me. He knows the thoughts in my mind. He knows the words on my tongue before I utter a single syllable. He knows it all. He knows my heart. I'd expect him to say, sure. But it won't be good. And yet here we're told, he will confirm you until the end. How can he do this? There's two ways. Two ways, in fact, that this will be accomplished. Our first way, and this is the lesser. Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to work. He'll be working on you. Sometimes it'll feel good. My experience is a lot of times it doesn't. He works. He uses people to work in your life as iron sharpens iron. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever grabbed an axe and a file? Have you raked a file against the edge of an axe? Have you felt the grinding? When I have done that, I have thought, I wouldn't want to be that axe. I wouldn't want to feel that. We do this, don't we? We grind on one another. We hurt one another, and as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God uses the elements of our lives and our experiences and his Holy Spirit to do works in our lives, to expose our weaknesses, our failures, our shortcomings, and to give us the opportunity for repentance. But the main way, the way he is really able to confirm you is, he took all of your guilt on himself. And he went before the holy judge. And he died the death that you deserve. From there, from that place of blessing, from that place of love, we are confirmed in Christ Jesus. This brings us to our third step now. Look forward to being blameless. Look forward to being blameless. Again, verse 8. Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. This is hope. Your sins are covered. All this mess that you're dealing with now, the accusations from other people, the ones who are wrong and the ones who are right, the pains that we face, the challenges that we face, the temptations that we face, the failures that we face again and again and again, the day is coming when Christ will return and he will look at you and say, blameless. Blameless. Your sins are covered. You have been washed, and though your sins were like scarlet, you have been made whiter than snow. All of your sicknesses, your failures, your weaknesses, healed. You made perfect is what we look forward to. This is why we exalt in hope. This is why we eagerly await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every wound healed. And all of our crimes forever done. 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 And we stand perfectly loved, washed, cleansed, and redeemed. So where's this on your list? What do you want? To what are you looking forward to? What is your hope? Live. Live. Eagerly awaiting Christ's return. Pray with me. Our God, we marvel at what you have accomplished, what you are accomplishing, and what will be the final work, even the redemption of our bodies, as we stand blameless before you. Give us hearts focused on truth. Give us hearts focused on reality. On the things that really matter, not on our aimless distractions. But God, cause us to live. Lord, where we have been aimlessly distracted, bless us with a repentance. That we would adjust our steps and our minds and our hearts to find our joy where it truly belongs. In you and in what your Son has already accomplished. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.